Welcome to Unsightly Sessions. I'm Felicia.
And I'm Deb.
Today, we're talking about beat baseball, the blind version of America's favorite pastime. If you've never experienced it before, it's fast, exciting, and a huge part of the blind sports community.
Joining us today is Darnell Booker, the tournament chair for the Beat Baseball World Series. He's here to talk to us about the tournament, the sport, and what makes the event such a big deal for players and fans.
Darnell, we're really glad to have you here with us today.
Thanks for having me, guys. I'm excited to talk about our 50th World Series, which will be held in Naperville/Aurora, Illinois. I'm really excited about that. I'm really excited to talk to you about this upcoming event.
How did you get started with beat baseball?
Well, it goes back to a long time ago. 1985, a senior in high school, my manager from a team here in Indianapolis obviously sought me out and said, hey, I want to introduce you to a sport called beat baseball. I'm like, what is beat baseball? So I go out to a practice and I'm like, okay, I like what I'm seeing so far, because I was very athletic in school and everything of that nature. So I'm like, okay, I'll try it. And the rest is history. I tried it for several times and then I'm hooked. So yeah, I've been involved since 1985. I played with a team called the Indianapolis Eagles, which was ran by the lady named Jan Trapagan, who got me involved in that. I played for her from 85 to 91 or 92. Her job moved her to Detroit. So, yeah, we won a World Series in 1990 with the Indianapolis Eagle. This is a whole different regime now. So she led the team for 7 years, won a World Series, and then her job moved her to Detroit. And so I bounced around and played with several teams up until like 1999. And then I'm like, hey, I'm going to be done playing, because, I mean, my playing is not up to snuff. So I think I'm going to try to go into leadership and start my own team. So I started the Indy Thunder in 2000. And so I've been in beat ball since 1985, and here it is 2026. So been very successful running the Indy Thunder from 2000 on. And I just think it's a great sport for those people that are blind or low vision / visually impaired. I think it's a very good sport. It teaches camaraderie, team building, socialization, and it's giving them the confidence that they can go out and do something and don't have that myth about blind people don't do anything. They just stay in their room, what have you. No, they can get out and do a bunch of stuff. And I like to see that in blind and visually impaired athletes, youth and adults, because I coach the Indy Thunder ages 15 to 60. So, and they have to earn their spots. And myself, I'm visually impaired in my right eye, but I have very, very good vision in my left eye. So, like I said, and I did everything normally. Like, I've done even sports that were even sighted people play, because my vision is very good in my left eye. So, but yeah, going back to giving blind and visually impaired, low vision athletes, very, very good. Just a resource to get out there and know they can compete and have a good time.
What drew you personally to the sport?
Just seeing the competitiveness. I'm very competitive. Just seeing the competitiveness, the drive of the athletes, and having the sighted community help those that are blind, low vision, visually impaired, all working together. That's what I like.
For listeners who may not know, what exactly is beat baseball and how does it work?
Okay, beat baseball is a sport that we play our games on soccer fields, and we have a 1-pound softball with old telephone parts in there, and the ball beeps throughout the game, and it is co-ed, but it's mostly male dominant, but it is co-ed. Actually, the National Beep Baseball Association has a women's team that's been around for the last 3 years, and they're called the Sirens. And I like that, because two ladies from Missouri, St. Louis area, sisters, they were looking around and was saying, why are the ladies buried on the bench? We want to do something about it. So they started their own team, and it's all females, and their team is called the Sirens. So I want to give them a lot of love and a lot of props, because, you know, they've been at it for 3 years. Yes, they want to compete against the men, which is good. And they have beaten a team from the World Series. 2 or 3 years ago, they got their first win over a Mets team. But anyway, going back to what Beat Baseball is, we play our games on soccer fields, and we always say applause is necessary, silence is golden. We like to play it in a quiet area, and there's two bases, first and third, and they're random, and they're 10 feet off the fair line, and the bases buzz and the balls beep. And then with the sighted help I was talking about, there's spotters, pitchers, and catchers. They're all sighted. All the other players have to wear a blindfold to make the playing field equal because there's different variations of blindness. So, and everything like that. So there's 6 innings and there's extra innings. So there's no ties. And you get 4 strikes in beat baseball instead of 3. And you can let a ball pass. That's just called a pass ball because the pitcher and the batter has to be on the same page with timing. And the pitcher says a cadence to the batter. Like, here we go, ready pitch or set, ready ball. That way the pitcher knows the ball is coming, so they know when to swing. And the catcher holds that target for the pitcher, knowing right where the ball needs to go. And it's up to the batter to have the swing, to swing in the same spot every single time. That's where the timing comes in with the pitcher. There's 3 outs. There's umpires. We have a home run line in beat baseball. The ball has to go in the air over 170 feet. If that happens and you make it to the random base, you score 2 runs for your team. And also there's spotters in the field. So when the ball is hit, there's a particular zone. There's 6 zones like a pie shape. Imagine a pie shape. And there's 1 spotter on each side of the field. So if the ball is hit to the right side, the spotter on the right side would call a particular zone, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then the other side, it would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then 1 spotter would take whoever, if the ball's hit up the middle, 1 spotter would call that number. The spotters can only call 1 number, then it's up to the defense to work together. And you score, either you strike out, get put out, or you score a run. And when you come up to the plate as a batter, you get to hear the bases and see how they sound. You, as a batter, do not know what base you're going to run to. It's up to the base operator behind the scorer's table to pick a base. And it's a race between the batter and the fielder. If the batter gets to the beeping random base before the fielder tracks the ball and gets it up off the ground, it's a run for his or her team. And if the fielder tracks the ball and gets it up off the ground before the batter gets to the random beeping base, they are out. There's also a double play ball. So if the ball is caught on 1 hop in the field and there are no outs, or if there's 1 out, it's 2 outs in the inning. And this has only happened 5 times in beat baseball. If the ball is caught in the air, if the spotter calls, like if I'm playing a position 3, a zone 3, and the spotter calls 3 and the ball hits me and I hold on to it and there's no outs in the inning, the inning's retired. That means an automatic 3 outs, you change sides. That's only happened 5 times in beat baseball. But we've had several double plays. So yes, there's been a ball that's caught on 1 hop and the ball has to go 40 feet. So there's a 40-foot line. The pitcher stands 20 feet from home plate. So a lot of our pitchers wear face masks, helmets. So if they get hit with the ball, it's a no pitch, because if the ball cannot hit the pitcher, if the ball hits the pitcher, it's a no pitch and the count stays the same. It goes back. So the only thing the pitcher does not get the bat like normal baseball or softball. All their job is to do is to pitch the ball. They're on the same team as the batter and they want the batter to hit. So that's the goal of beat baseball. It's pretty amazing, pretty exciting. It's a lot of diving. There's no throwing in beat baseball. If the ball is hit, you have fielders diving for that ball and blocking it. And they got to pick it up before the batter gets to the base. And then like I said, it's really exciting because it comes down to, you know, who can make plays. Because we always say, you know, applause is necessary, silence is golden, train your ears. So because sometimes a spotter can make a bad call, but if you train your ears, you'll be patient, you'll get to the ball in time. And like I said, there's about 30 teams across the country and about 4 or 5 international teams. And we always, at the end of the season, we culminate to the World Series, and city bids on the World Series. So the World Series is in different cities. Like the last 2 years, it's been in St. Louis because they won the bid for 24 and 25. This year, the World Series, being the 50th, will be in Aurora/Naperville, Illinois.
What surprises people the most when they see a game for the first time?
I would say the athleticism of the athletes, whether they're running to a base, because it's like a 4-foot tackling dummy, like a little pylon. And those guys or gals go after that base. from home plate to a base is 100 feet. Could you imagine running full speed to a buzzing base with the blindfold on, trying to score that run? So I think when people see the sport, they're like, what athleticism these players have. And when they're making a play where they're blocking the ball, diving and stopping the ball with their body and picking it up off the ground before they get to the base. So I think it's the athleticism. And then they know these guys and gals can swing a bat. So it's doing that makes it like, and the pitcher putting it right there where their batter is swinging, it's really cool because these guys and gals can hit the ball a ton. And that's why I say equipment is very, very important, the balls and the bases, because a beat ball is $42. So, and we go through a lot of beat balls. Everybody, and beat balls are golden. So we go through a lot of balls and we go through some bases because the bases are wired. We're trying to go toward wireless bases, but we're working on that. But yes, so you got to have the equipment. And we always say you got it. Without volunteers, this sport would not happen because it takes the sighted community and the blind, low vision and visually impaired to work together as a whole. And you have to fundraise to get to the World Series. Each team has to fundraise throughout the whole year. The goal is to get to the World Series and see who's the world champion.
Well, speaking about the World Series, I actually wanted to know, what does it take to organize the Beat Baseball World Series? Like, how would you put together transportation for low blind individuals? And how does that work?
So last year at the World Series, we had nominations of elections. And the vice president and secretary and along with other board members was up for election. So I won the election. So this is my first time chairing as the tournament chair. And I'm elected for the next 2 years overseeing the World Series of Beat Baseball, all the logistics on and off the field. So the previous World Series, like I said, I'm new in this role, but I'm learning. But I do know at the World Series, we have, for transportation, when people fly, we have 55 passenger buses, or a lot of teams drive since it's so close in the Midwest. So, you know, a lot of people have their own vehicles, like vans. They rent vans, they rent cars. So a lot of teams are already setting it up on their own. The NBBA, the National Beat Baseball Association, is just there if they need assistance with, if teams don't have enough to rent a van or what have you. We have transportation set up for them to and from the fields and the main hotel. So that's how that works. But the majority of the teams don't like to be tied up with buses and stuff. So they take care of their own details before they get to the World Series by renting vans or driving their own vehicles. But the teams that are flying in, they're also take care of their own transportation. But if need be, the NBBA has either transportation set up for them, or in this case, this year, I think we're going to use, since we don't really need a lot of, we're getting a lot of the numbers in, we don't need 255 passenger buses. So what we're going to do, I think, is we're going to give teams stipends, like give them money towards their gas cars or whatever they want to do with that stipend. We're going to give each team a stipend to meet their transportation needs, whether it be where they can use that money on whatever they want to use it for.
Well, that's awesome.
I was wondering, how has Beat Baseball, in your opinion, how has it impacted your life and the lives of other individuals with that visual challenges?
Good question. I've seen beat ball change a lot of people's lives in my 40 plus years of being involved in beat baseball, whether it be young adults and adults, like game changer in the sense of having the confidence, getting out, they can do that, get that job, go to school, be productive in their community, or save their life because, well, what am I going to do now that I have, that school is out and I really need something to do? And that, you know, with the camaraderie, meeting new friends from different teams, or just getting out there exercising because we need exercise in our life, and having structure. So it's changed a lot of lives, and it's changed my life knowing that it, like I said, I wasn't a really good player when I played from 85 to 97. That's how long I played. But like I said, I felt my place in beat baseball was leadership and coaching. And I've coached since 2000, so over 25 years. And I just love helping people and going to different tournaments and helping people, not only helping my team, the Indy Thunder, and then it's blood, sweat, and tears I put in with the fundraising, with organizing. I feel my leadership has really gotten me a lot of places. Beat ball has taken me all across the country. And it's going to go, I'm going to go to Puerto Rico this May to help with the new team and their tournament. So it's really given me a good feeling when I'm helping other teams, not only my own team, but other teams. And that's why I feel that I was elected as first vice president of the National Beat Baseball Association, because I know that I have the experience in running local tournaments at the regional level. So it's real impactful. And it just makes me feel good to see people, whether they're youth or adults, get out there and just experience. And like I said, the camaraderie, the socialization, the confidence gives them all those things. And being around and being on a team makes them feel good, knowing they got to be accountable because nothing is given to them. They got to earn it. And just to see what beatball has done as far as, like I said, it's 90% guys and about 10% women. But seeing that new team, that the girls team, the ladies team, it makes me feel good about that because that came about with, we had 10 years ago, we had something that the NBBA created as a project. It was called WOOL, Women of Our League. So out of that project, the Sirens were born. So the Wolves just had exhibition games at the World Series. But like I said, the two ladies out of the St. Louis area, Kim Blumenthal and Cassandra McDaniels, both sisters, said, hey, they just said, hey, a lot of the women are buried on the bench. And I think, I mean, yes, they know they're going to have to take their lumps, but the challenge is they want to create a women's team and they still have it going on. And this is going to be their fourth season.
Wow. I've met some of them. They're really neat ladies.
Yeah, and they're always looking for players, volunteers, and sponsorship. They're just like any other team, except they want to compete against the men. I mean, you know, they know they got to put in work. But like I said, it's just a good feeling. And knowing my role is being in leadership and coaching, and that's how what's made an impact on me. I was inducted into the National Beatball Hall of Fame as a coach in 2024. And basically, it was because of the leadership and the coaching.
It's really had an impact, hasn't it? You mentioned Puerto Rico, which made me think of another question I want to ask you. Is beat baseball something they play in any other countries that you know of?
Yeah, Taiwan, the Dominican Republic, Canada. Yes.
Wow.
Argentina has some equipment. Australia is going to have some equipment. So yes, it's, you know, the sport has been around for 50 years. Like I said, we're celebrating our 50th this year. I'm not sure how long it's going to take to get to a Paralympic level because we're not on a lot of continents right now. But just to see it is international and all those teams that have teams. And usually it takes, like I said, it takes fundraising to get to the World Series. So like last year, Taiwan was there. Taiwan's been there multiple times. We've had the Dominican Republic. We had Canada at the World Series just to see the international interest in beat baseball. And it's definitely growing.
Awesome.
You mentioned earlier that volunteers contribute to making this event successful. Could you talk more about how volunteers are essential and what volunteers do?
Yes. My slogan is, without volunteers, beat baseball would not happen. That means the sighted community is, you know, when, especially on the local level, you know, volunteering for their local team, whether it be picking them up, taking the players to practice, taking them to tournaments, and being on the roster and being a part of the team, not just volunteering on the outside, but being a part of a team, the sighted community, and doing those type of things. Also being a base monitor. So those are particular, that's like when the players plow into the base, they just put the base back together. That's just called a base monitor, and just setting it up. And then, like I said, you have making sure if athletes bringing them back to the bench, to and from the base. Once the play is over with, if you have some low vision or some vision just to kind of get you in the right direction back to your bench, we have volunteers that get the players back to the bench. Or, you know, if they need to go to the restroom, or if they need a water or a Gatorade when they're on the bench, that type of thing. And then, like you said, we have when the spotters are on the field with the six players, because you play at 6-on-6, 6 innings, 6 players at a time. You can have a DF, which is a designated fielder, and a DH, which is a designated hitter, or you can just play it straight up and just play 6 fielders and 6 batters. But the DF is a flex position, which he's fielding for the DH, and the DH is batting for the designated fielder, because we play to their strength, if you follow what I'm saying. But like the spotters, once the play is over with, the spotters line the players back up in their positions on the field. Each team can mark the field with X's and O's, and just take where they're, where, or put a paint spot where there's position position is every single time the player's over, because they're moving once that ball is hit. So once the ball is hit and once the player's over with, the spotters just line them up for the next play. So and other things like also like when at the hospitality room, there's sometime when we're at these tournaments, we have volunteers serving food, helping the blind, visually impaired, low vision athletes get their food, telling them what it is, and just directing them. And so volunteers are very, very essential. So, you know, helping them with the water and the ice and getting the field set up. Like once we have the tournaments or, you know, the day before where we're setting up our fields, setting up our tents, setting up our bases and lining the fields. So all that is volunteer driven.
Wow. Shout out to volunteers.
Correct.
For sure.
How has Beat Baseball grown over the years?
In early 90s, rules change and things of that nature. Like in the early mid 80s to early 90s, when I was around and playing, the bases were only 90 feet and you had 5 strikes and you could let you can take two passes just to get your timing down. Now that the athletes are a lot stronger, better, faster, and then the pitchers are working on their craft in the off season in batting cages or wherever where indoor batting is, the rules change. So in the mid 70s, mid 80s to the early 90s, the bases were a lot closer instead of being 100 feet with what they are now. Back then, they were 90 feet and you got 5 strikes and the home run line was 180 instead of 170. They wanted more scoring. And then, like I said, they wanted to give the defense a little more action when if you catch a ball on one hop in the field, it's now considered a double play. It just used to be one out. So different eras and times, things change. There is a rule that's trying to get passed where these guys are so good, just like regular baseball and softball, they want 3 strikes. So it's been proposed several times to move it from 4 to 3. Well, it's still getting a hard time. And still people want that extra strike. But I feel that the athletes are ready for that to move to the next challenge of 3 strikes to like a regular normal softball baseball game. And you still get your pass ball you can take to get your timing down. But somebody said they're going to keep bringing that rule up until it passes. So we'll see if it gets to 3 strikes. Like I said, there's 6 innings and there's extra innings. And the scores, depending on how the grass is cut. So if the grass is cut very low on the soccer fields, you're going to have fast fields and high scores. If the grass is a little bit thick, they're going to be called defensive fields because once the ball hits or sometimes it sticks and it stops. So depending on how the fields are laid out, that's how your score is either going to be pretty sort of low to medium or real high. And then also depends on the training of the athletes. I've seen that change from a long time where people just show up and pick up a bat and a ball and start just playing beat baseball. But now a lot of teams have trainers, they have fitness, they work on agility, they work on their footwork. That's how I've seen it change from the mid 80s till today. You just can't show up and pick up a baseball or a beat baseball and start. You got to stretch. You got to, you know, get your proper rest. Just like any other sport, you have to take care of your body.
Exactly. Well, what can people do if they want to start a team or get involved?
We have an outreach. It's outreach@mbba.org. Also, of course, if you can give them my information, because what I'm doing now, I'm not the coach of the Thunder. I am like the assistant coach. I don't really need to be at a lot of practices. So what I'm doing is going around and helping teams with their local tournaments as being their chair. And I mean, just running their tournament while they're playing ball or coaching, which I don't mind doing that. But it takes what you want to do is like to call our outreach service and we can talk to you about equipment. We can talk to you how you start a team, because you really need, I would say as far as players go, you would need about 10 solid players, because 10 to 12 solid players, because you start with 6 and you want to have a backups like your depth, like your bench. So I would say 12 players, 2 spotters, maybe 3 just to rotate them in, and a pitcher and a catcher, and maybe a backup pitcher just in case the pitcher gets hurt. You want to have a backup pitcher. So I would say 20 people would start a good team from players to volunteers. So that's what you basically would need. And then our team, the Indy Thunder, once a team is kind of started to show show them the ropes. We work with individual teams to, you know, let them know how practices ran, what we do. We talk about off the field stuff like fundraising, volunteers, how you would get that involved. So there's a lot of guidance from when I first started my team in 2000, when I didn't have any guidance. I just did it with the labor of love. And because we have, you know, you talk about a donation letter and teach them how to fundraise this, that, and the other.
Wow. Well, do you have a moment that you can think of that was the most exciting moment you've witnessed in Beat Baseball World Series?
I do. My 2021 team, the Indy Thunder, we were going trying to complete the drive for five. We had won four in a row. So we were playing the San Antonio Jets. One of my guys gets up. We were down 7-6, and he ended it with a walk-off home run. And went 8-7 in 2021 in Wichita, Kansas, hit a home run to walk it off. The drive for five was complete.
Wow.
That was pretty amazing. That has never happened. It's out there on YouTube, the Thunder and the Jets. And we were going for our fifth consecutive championship, world championship. And we ended it on a walk-off home run. Pretty sweet.
Wow, that's neat. We'll have to look for that for sure. Well, if there was one thing you would like people to know about Beat Baseball that you haven't mentioned already, what would that be?
Come out and watch it. It's a real eye-opener, and you will be hooked. Just watch the athletes. I mean, come out and watch a game, and it's super competitive. It's like any other sport, and they're giving it their all every time they play.
I saw an exhibition game, and it was addicting. It was wonderful, and I can't wait to go watch another game.
Can't wait to see you out there. Hopefully, you can drive up to Chicago or Aurora and watch the World Series August 2nd through the 8th.
Awesome.
And I will be running around with my head cut off like a chicken, making sure everybody has what they need. I can't be with my team because it's a conflict of interest.
Oh.
Right.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right. Well, we appreciate you coming to talk with us today. And I know a whole bunch about Beat Baseball that I didn't before, and kind of interested in volunteering. So,
yeah. Is there any other contact information that we would need to put out there for people that might be interested? Is there a specific like website or?
If they want to volunteer or, you know, if you're looking for a particular team in your area, you can do nbba.org/teams. If you want to get involved that way, if you want to get involved with the World Series, it's nbba.org/World Series, 2026 World Series. If you want to sign up for the volunteer, I think there's a volunteer sign up sheet for that. If you want to do that, that's perfectly fine. So yeah, get involved. Or like I said, I'm available at dbooker@nbba.org. If anybody has any questions, want to talk Beat Baseball, I'd be glad to help in any way, shape, or form. Yeah, those are some ways you can get involved. And like I said, the team in you guys' area, if you guys are from Missouri, would be the Gateway Archers, which is the guys' team, or the Sirens, which is the all-female team.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for talking to us today. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. And hopefully I will meet you guys soon and come out and watch a Beat Baseball game. It's a real eye-opener. We say applause is necessary, but silence is golden. You can cheer after the play is over with.